4 years old, or 36, or 48, and so on. But I know there are some roosters in the gathering this morning. Well, whatever it is, sorry, I'm not going to allow you to crow your ears. I talked on this year of the rooster. I started it last week at Butterworth Gospel Hall. And today, I am doing this at Balmoral Gospel Hall. Next week, I shall go to Island Glades, and the week after, Bukit Mutajam, and lastly, I shall go to Sungai Ara, all according as the Lord wills. Now, what is this year of the rooster? The rooster is a name given to a sector of the zodiac. What is this zodiac? Zodiac is a section in the heavens that has to do with the rotation of the earth around the sun. And it goes in the shape of perhaps an oval and is divided into 12 sectors. And these 12 sectors are given special names. If you are an astrologer, they will give you from the west, then these sectors will be given special names like Gemini, Aquarius, Virgo, and so on. So there are 12 sectors, and each one has a constellation of the movement of the planets, the earth, in relation to the sun. And when taken in connection with your birth, when you were born, these astrologers profess to be able to forecast your fortunes for the day, for the month, and for the year ahead. These are fortune tellers, astrologers. Now, definitely the Lord condemns such in the scriptures, that we should not look for all these so-called what the stars foretell, but we should look into the scriptures to see what the Lord has to tell us with regard to our future. Now, just as the Western astrologers have these sectors divided into various various sections to name them after mythological animals or stories, so do those in the East. The Eastern astrologers also have their different sectors of the zodiac divided into 12 and is given a name of a creature. It would probably start with the rat, the first one, and then go on to the cow, the tiger, the rabbit, and so on. Those of you who are familiar with the Chinese rhymes and so on will know, especially old-fashioned ones, that Ichu ji gu sa ho si to go ling, and so on. All right, that's how they can recall any person whose birth is associated with their age. All right, that is for the creatures. And what have all these creatures got to do with me? Am I not doing what the Lord says I must not do? That is not to foretell the future from all this zodiac signs and so on. Now, what I'm doing is just this. I started preaching and studying the creatures of the Chinese New Year since 1983. Now, 1983 from this year will be 34 years ago already. In other words, I've gone through at least 3 cycles studying these creatures. Now, I study these creatures not in the context of telling the future, but taking the opportunity of these animals that occur yearly in connection with the Chinese calendar or zodiac to look into the Bible, to study these creatures in the Bible. For example, today we have the year of the rooster. Where does the word rooster occur in the Bible? How is it used? Where is it used, and so on. So it's a Bible study. My study on the year of the rooster or of any other animal in connection with the new year has nothing to do with astrology, but he has everything to do with Bible study of that special animal in the Bible. All right, so I started in 1983, and today, this year, is the year of the rooster, which is the 10th. It's the 10th of the zodiac animals, and in Chinese culture, rooster represents fidelity and punctuality. I think there are not many roosters here, because this morning when I was here, I looked back and I saw number of pews absent, not punctual. I only wish that there were more roosters in the assembly here. Then we will fill the seats punctually. That's very important. Very important. All right. So the rooster represents fidelity and punctuality, for it wakes people up on time. Now, I started this series of studies of these animals, as I said, 34 years ago. And I started a new series based on the presentation with PowerPoint in 2010. And since 2010, all my studies of these animals have been on PowerPoint or illustrated with PowerPoint. And now I've come on the 2017 on the year of the rooster. I have got four more to go, and that will be the dog, the pig, the rat, and the ox. When I come to that, I'm going to call the series to an end, provided the Lord allows me to go on for another 4 years. If not, it will end earlier, and that will be the end of the series. That will be the fourth cycle, and I think it's enough. All right, let's carry on with this so-called zodiac forecast, and let's see how true it is. They say that people born in the year of the rooster are beautiful, kind-hearted, hardworking, courageous, independent, humorous, honest. They are to keep home neat and organized. Now, you see, this is what is characteristic of the astrological forecasts. The forecasts are all very general. It can not only refer to the rooster, it can refer to any other animal, or any person born with that animal sign, like me, for example. Don't you think I look handsome? Sorry, that is self-praise. Don't you think I'm hardworking? Of course I am, I'm sure you know that I am. And independent, quite organized, but homekeeping is another thing. And that gives me the summary: adventurous, capable, kind rooster, talented, punctual, hardworking. These are the main characteristics of a rooster. I'm not a rooster, and many of you are not roosters, but these characteristics fit you as well. So do not trust what the stars foretell. They are not true. Of course, there are also the bad things about these people. On the other side, they might be arrogant, self-aggrandizing, like myself. Just now, I want to show myself to you. See how egoistic I was just now. Persuasive to others, but wow, as well as admire things or persons blindly. So, there is the bad side. All right, that's just about astrology. Let's put it aside. Let's now go into the Bible. What does the Bible teach about the rooster? Now, it depends upon the version, the Bible version that you use, or the translation. Sometimes it's referred to as a rooster, a cock, or a cockerel. Whatever happens, we know that all these words are translated from one Greek word, and that's elepto. And the wonderful point is this: this word, this Greek word, elepto, is only found in the New Testament, and not at all in the Old Testament. Apparently, the Israelites were not familiar with the domiciled fowl at that time, in their lifetime, in the Old Testament. It only came on, I was told, after the scattering, the destruction of the Jerusalem in 70 AD. Well, whatever it is, we know that the word cockerel does not occur in the Old Testament, but only in the New Testament. Now, as we shall see as we go on in our study, this year of the rooster is what I will call the year of reality, where we are faced with reality. And this year, 2017, in Malaysia especially, we need to face with a reality. We have been tricked in the past year. The past year was the year of the monkey, where there were a lot of monkey tricks played by the politicians, by the leaders and so on, to hoodwink us as to what was real and what was not real. And so we need to open our eyes to see. And that's why this year is very important, that we may be able to see what we should see, what is real and what is just a monkey trick to deceive us, to cover up things. So this challenge will be the theme of my study this morning. Be real, face reality. And when we come to face with reality, the tendency may be that we will realize that we are wrong. We may make mistakes, and this is a stage where we come to the Lord and we confess. Let us be ourselves. Let us be ourselves, be real before God, before ourselves, our own selves, before other people. Let us be real, not to just cover up. And when we have fallen short of these standards of being real, then we need to confess. When we confess, we repent, and we have this assurance that the Lord will restore us and the Lord will revive us and renew us to be used again. And so this is a very important issue. Let us be real. When we are real, then and only then the Lord can use us, because we will realize the reality of God and reality of what we actually are and do what is real and what will bring spiritual fruit unto the Lord. Now, this word cockerel or electo occurs 12 times, as I pointed out. In Mark chapter 14 and verse 72, it occurs twice. Now, all these words only point to one incident, and that has to do with the stumbling of Peter's downfall and denial. Denial and downfall. All the 12 occurrences of the word cock in Scripture or in the New Testament have to do with Peter's denial and downfall. So, this study will be about that section of Peter's life as we go on. However, there's one derived word from the word cock that we need to pay attention to in the Scriptures. And it is the word cockcrow, in Greek, electrophonia, phone, the sounding of the cock. And this word occurs in Mark 13:35 with very precise timing of when the cock crows. For example, in Mark 13:35, we read, "Watch you therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh, at even or at midnight or at the cock crowing or in the morning." Now, the cock crows at four different times in the 12 hours leading to the night and coming to the morning. Daytime, the cock doesn't crow. Now, these four times are important because the Lord said to the people then at that time, that you better watch out because I'm coming soon. Do not be kept unprepared. Watch therefore. You know not when I'm coming. And he told of a story of a man who went far away and would come back anytime. Watch out therefore, for you know not when the master of that house will come. Firstly, at even, at midnight, cock crowing, morning. Four watches. All right. So what is this cock crowing that we must know? Right. Let's look at them. The Jewish calendar would refer to the first watch. And in the Bible, we also read about the first watch. The first watch would be evening time, that is roughly from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Then you have the second watch, which is midnight, from 9 p.m. to midnight. And here we have the first cock crow. Now, I'm not sure whether all of you are conscious of this or not, that the cock does crow at about 11:30 p.m. at night. Now, most probably you do not hear about it because there's a lot of noise at that time. But that is what is referred to as the first cock crow. Now, these times are, of course, based upon the Jewish calculation because they count their day as starting from 6 p.m. onwards. So, there is another third watch. And the third watch in the scripture is very important in connection with our study because it is the watch of the cock crowing that the Lord Jesus Christ referred to in Mark chapter, in the context just now. And that will be the time from midnight to 3 a.m. Again, many of you would not have heard the cock crowing at this time. 1:30. Why? You will be sound asleep. You will not hear. But I have heard a few times the cock crowing at 1:30. Now, this cock crowing is very important so that we see that the Lord Jesus Christ has singled out this incident in the life of the cock for the event that would signal the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be careful, be watchful. He may come at cock crowing. And of course, the final watch, which will be morning. And this one, I think many of you are familiar because many of you may even depend on the cock crowing to wake you up from sleep. And that will be announcing dawn, the third cock crow. Now, these watches are mentioned in the Bible. And when you come across them, you will be able to understand the times referred to then. Okay. Then it's also, when we talk about the cock, we must also refer to the hen. Because both are in the same family. The feminine, the masculine. And so, that is the Greek word ornis, the hen. Now, the hen occurs only once in the New Testament. That is in reference to itself, not the parallel passage. In Matthew 23:37 and Luke 13:34. And it again was used as an illustration of a prophecy, a future event to come. The Lord Jesus Christ came to Jerusalem and he said, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who killed the prophets and stoned those who sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chick under her wings, and you were not willing." Please note, the Lord Jesus likened Jerusalem himself to a hen, and Jerusalem to the chicken. And he was calling out to Jerusalem, "Come, come, come under my wings to be protected." But they would not. And the Lord even sent his servants to them to tell them, "Come," but they would not. They killed his servants. All right, what lesson can we learn from here? Number one, the Lord's longing for his people as a hen gathers her brood under her wings so naturally for shelter. When the hen clucks, "Come, come," the chicken will quickly go under the wings of the hen. But here sometimes the Lord appeals to his people, but the people will not hear. And that's the reality. There are some people who will not hear, who will just be disobedient and go away. So, come. His people sometimes even kill the very messengers that he sent to them. The people made a choice. They would not come. And because they would not come, the Lord said, Jerusalem would be destroyed. Jerusalem would be destroyed and the people will be scattered. And it came to pass in 70 AD, when Jerusalem was razed to the ground and the people were scattered all over the world. And so we find that they were responsible for their action. That's reality. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth, till you shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Right. Now, we start our study on the cock. We shall talk of three things, three main titles. One, the cock shall crow. Second, the cock crowed. Third, the cock is crowing. Right, let's deal with the cock shall crow. This will be the year of facing reality. And Peter was challenged with reality. In what way? The prophecy that prompted Peter to speak. Jesus Christ saw the disciples, saw Peter, and he made known an Old Testament prophecy. In Zechariah chapter 13, verses 7 to 9. What was that prophecy? Look at the bottom. You will all fall away. Jesus said them, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee. Peter declared, even if all fall away, I will not. Truly I tell you, Jesus answered today, yes, tonight, before the rooster crows twice, you yourself will disown me three times. The prophecy. What was it from Zechariah chapter 13? Awake, sword against my shepherd, against the man who is close to me, declared the Lord Almighty. Strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered and I will turn my hand up against the little ones. Please note that prophecy. When the Lord Jesus Christ quoted that prophecy to Peter and the other disciples, Peter said, when he heard those words, the sheep will be scattered. No, I will not be scattered. All others can flee away, but I will not. Will he not? What is reality? Let's see. Let's examine the prophecy again. Firstly, the prophecy had to do with the shepherd, that it would be smitten, so Christ would be. Now, definitely, the shepherd must be the Lord Jesus Christ, because it would be he who would be my fellow. Now, no one could ever dare to claim that he could be the fellow of God except the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so this prophecy had to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. The sheep would be scattered. His disciples would be scattered. And that came to pass in Mark 14:50, where we read that the disciples fled away. However, the stricken shepherd, he says there, would rise again to lead the remnant. We find that in Mark 14:28. When I'm risen, I will meet you again in Galilee. So, that was the prophecy. That prophecy brought about tremendous events in the life of Peter. How did Peter react to that prophecy? The Lord, the shepherd, will be smitten. The sheep will be scattered. Oh, that could not be. To Peter, that could not be the reality. Why? Because he would stand firm. He would be strong. He would not stumble. He would not be scattered. He would be there. He would be for the Lord. Perhaps there may be some of us like this too, who feel that we are so fervent and so faithful that we will never stray away. Now, I'm not sure what will happen. Suppose we were in Syria today. Suppose we were in Iraq today. And we face a threat of our faith being persecuted. How would we react? How would we respond to the challenge? I'm not sure. Would we say like Peter? All the others will flee, but I will not. That's reality. The pride that led to Peter's stumbling and denial. Let's see how he reacted. First, his personal boast. What did he say in response to the Lord's prophecy? He boasted egoistically. Even though all became deserters, I will not. the sheep will be scattered. No, I will not. I'm wondering whether many of us here have this same faithful stand. You know, sometimes I say, well, I'll take a stand for the Lord, no matter what the persecution is. But in reality, I'm afraid. Very afraid. How I will react? Will I be stand up the same as those who are being persecuted in Iraq and in Syria and in other places where the Lord's people are being persecuted? How will we stand? What is the reality in our life? He bragged emphatically, although all shall be offended, yet will not I. And in Matthew 26:33, he says, never, never, never will do it. Note his position. You know, I think some of us have the opinion that we may not turn away from the Lord when persecution comes, that we will be faithful to Him. But frankly speaking, even speaking for myself, I have my fears. Now that's reality. Proverbs 27 says, boast not, boast not. 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, where you think you stand, you fall. Take care, take care. All right, his persistent boast. He crowed confidently, though I shall die with thee, yet I will not deny thee. Can you believe that? Now, these are the words in Mark 14:31. I did not coin those words. That's reality. That's what he said. He was prepared to die, not only with him, with the Lord, but he says that I will die with Jesus, though I should die with thee. Matthew 26:35, Luke 22:33-34. I will die with thee. I will go all the way with you. Yes, that is the crowing cock, the proud cock, boasting with all it could at that time. And what did he say? He was prepared even to die for Jesus. Can ever you imagine that? Not only to die with Jesus, but to die for Jesus, so that Jesus could not die, so that Jesus did not have to die. And that's what he said earlier when Jesus told him, soon I will be killed by my enemies. And he said, no, 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 that cannot be, that cannot be. And Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan, get thee behind me, Satan. And this is what happened later on, as we shall see. He was prepared to die for Jesus, that boasting cock. I will lay down my life for thy sake. The very words in John 13:37. I will lay down my life for thy sake. Oh, yes. He crowed confidently. Christ, when he was challenged by the high priest, are you the Christ? Are you the Messiah that should come? Christ said, yes. And Christ said he will lay down his life. John chapter 10, verse 11. I am the good shepherd. I will lay down my life for the sheep. I have the power to lay down my life and you take it up again. I will lay down my life for the sheep. The Lord Jesus Christ said that. Peter, I will lay down my life for you. Would he? What happened? Mark 14:33 in the Garden of Gethsemane. Stay here, Peter. Keep awake, watch and pray. I'll go further and I will pray unto my Father. He came back. He was asleep. He was asleep. He had much to say. But when he came to really living it out, it was another thing. How like so many of us this morning who are seated here. We can say a lot, but the walk when it comes to being challenged is another thing. He confirmed the more vehemently. No, Peter, you will not be standing firm. You will deny me. I will not deny thee in any way. Mark 14:31. His companions also joined in. And how easy it is when you are in the crowd, you also join in. Likewise also said they all, we will not be scattered. We will not run away. We will stick to you. Is that reality? Is that reality? We read Mark 14:50, and they all forsook him and fled when the time came. Yes, they forsook him and fled as fast as possible. The prediction concerning Peter's sorrowful downfall. Now, just now, the Lord gave a prediction from Zechariah of what would happen to him as a shepherd when he would be smitten. Now, he would refer directly to Peter. What did he say? The statement of his prediction, Mark 14:30. It's solemn. He says, verily, when the Lord begins his statement with verily, it's real truth. He is saying, amen, and amen. Verily, verily, I say unto you. Very, very true. It will not be, it will not serve in any way. It's the truth. It's solemn. It's specific. I say unto thee that this day, even in this night. So specific, he pointed a finger at Peter and said, I say unto thee, that is singular. And that this day, no, this day is too general because it contains 24 hours. This night, you will betray me. The sign, before the cock crows twice. The cock crows once, you should know already. The cock crows twice, it's too late. Too late, Peter. The sad fact, thou shalt deny me three times. You will not only deny me once, you will not only deny me twice, but you will deny me three times and the cock will crow the second time. Can you imagine that? That was what the Lord said of Peter. Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up this cross and follow me. That's the word deny. You will deny me three times. Peter did not go after the Lord. The Lord went into the court to be tried. He followed outside. John went inside, but Peter stayed outside. Let him deny himself. He did not deny himself. He denied the Lord Jesus Christ. Take up his cross. He did not take up his cross. He allowed Jesus to take up his cross. And he did not follow the Lord. He allowed the Lord to go ahead. And he was out of step with the Lord. And so was this reality that faced Peter, the man to whom all other disciples looked up to. The seriousness of the prediction, Luke 22:31. Let us realize that it was not a struggle between himself and the Lord. It was a struggle in spiritual places as well. Satan was at him. And we read in 1 Peter 5:8 that Satan, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he would devour. And he was ready to devour Peter. No wonder Peter said, when Peter said, do not go to the cross. And the Lord said, get thee behind me, Satan. Satan is at his best when we think we are doing well. Let us be careful. We are involved in a spiritual warfare where Satan attacks us. And as we go in this year, let us face the reality that Satan will not allow us to be in peace. The Savior's defense of Peter. But the Lord said, I have prayed for thee. Now, that's singular. Because he was singling out Peter. He had a special mission for Peter. He had a special purpose for Peter. And that was reality. That in spite of what Peter was, God, the Lord, had a special mission for Peter. And he singled out Peter and he said, I pray for you. Thy faith fail not. His courage might fail. But his faith was founded in Jesus. Didn't he not say, when Jesus asked him, whom do men say that I am? Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. Upon this I will lay my foundation of the church. Yes, his faith will not fail. He will go on, although his courage will fail. His restoration, he will be restored. And Christ said, when you are converted, when your direction was changed from one direction to another to go back to the truth, then what must you do? Strengthen your brethren. Strengthen your brethren. Okay. The path, very quickly, let's look back and see why Peter actually failed. Why Peter did not follow the Lord Jesus Christ right to the end, so that we might learn, that we may not fall into the same trap. Firstly, surprisingly, it was his fervency for Jesus. But it was based on egoism. I will not forsake thee. I will never do it. I will lay down my life for you. I will die with you. I will die for you. Be careful. He was egoistic. And that fervency did not do him well in allowing him to finish the course that is before him. His failure at Gethsemane, his spirit was there, very willing, I will follow, but his flesh was weak. He could not do it. His following Jesus afar off, Mark 14:54, they followed Jesus afar off, dare not go near to identify himself closely with the Lord, not keeping step with the Lord in his walk. Finally, one possible other reason was he warmed himself in the fire that was outside the court. The fire that warmed him, compromising with the world. They're not taking a stand for the Lord, but compromising with the world in his last days when they were so critical, when he had to be real, when he had to face the real challenge. He failed. Peter's pathetic and sad downfall. First denial, Mark 14:67. He met while he was at the fire. When you are in the world, be prepared to face all these challenges. These people will turn against you. And one lady said, you also was with Jesus of Nazareth. You were with Jesus of Nazareth. Yes. I think that should be a proud thing. If anybody should accuse me, hey, you are a Christian, you are a follower of Jesus, I would be very proud if that person saw this in me. But in reality, that may lead me to more ridicule, that may lead me to more persecution and trouble. And that's what happened. Peter was afraid of that. He lost his courage and he said, he denied and he said, I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. How many people today, even our leaders, when they are challenged as to what actually happened, oh, I don't understand what you say. There is a selective memory. Something can be remembered, something cannot be remembered. Oh, I don't understand what you say. Oh, I cannot remember. And that was what happened to Peter. Second denial. Now, the second challenge. This is one of them. Now, in Mark 14:69, it says that there was this maid again, implying that it was the second time the first maid saw him. And yet in Luke 22:58, we read another maid. We are not sure, actually I'm not sure whether this was the second time the same maid accused him or another maid accused him, but whatever the charge was, this is one of them. Oh, he denied again. I do not know the man. I do not know him. Matthew 16:13-16, as I quoted just now, whom do men say that I am? Whom do you say that I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. I do not know who he is now. I never heard of him. I don't understand what you're saying. I don't know him. He was at a place warming himself in the fire. One of the soldiers asked, you are a Galilean. Your speech agrees to this. By your accent, you are from Galilee. You are a friend of the man from Galilee. What did he say? Wow, he began to curse. And the word curse is anathema. And he began to swear. He began to use vulgar words, perhaps, saying, "I know not this man of whom you speak." He was swearing because he was was caught in the trap. And what happened? Christ, when he was before the high priest, was challenged. "Art thou the Christ? Can you tell the truth?" The Lord Jesus Christ testified to the truth. But Peter, he saw and he cursed and he called upon, so to speak, the name of God or something like that. "I do not know this man." He asked, he saw an oath to sanctify a lie. It's terrible, isn't it? And this was what Peter was. Today, in Jerusalem, when I was there, you saw this monument at the church of God in Cantu, and there you see Jesus denying the Lord three times in front of these three monuments, three people there. He began to curse and to swear, saying, "I know not this man." And these words, "I know not this man," was engraved. Engraved. Here. Non novi illum in Latin. "I know not this man." For Peter, that was to stick to him for his rest of his life. The cock crowed. We have already considered the cock shall crow. Now the cock crowed. Second time the cock crew, Mark 14:72. Yes, Peter was still there. And the cock crew the second time. He had already denied the Lord three times. After the third time the cock crew, Jesus looked at Peter. Peter remembered. Then Peter called to mind what the Lord had said earlier. "Before the cock crows twice, thou shalt deny me thrice." Peter looked at Jesus. Peter was remorseful. He wept bitterly. Matthew 26:75 adds the word bitterly. Terrible. Okay. Jesus remembered Peter. You know, when Peter rose, and when Jesus rose again from the dead, the women went to the tomb to find Jesus. And they met with the angel. And the angel told the women, "Go and tell the disciples that he is risen." Please note, "Go and tell the disciples and Peter." Mark chapter 16:7. And Peter. Peter was singled out. Peter wept bitterly when he denied the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus had a special heart for Peter. Those of you who had denied him, remember this. Jesus still loved you. And Jesus said, "And Peter, go and tell the disciples, and Peter." Peter was restored and renewed to love. So that in that sea of Tiberias, we find that Jesus pulled out Peter and he asked him three times, just as he denied the Lord Jesus Christ three times, "Lovest thou me?" First, he used the word agapeo. Agapeo, the best love, the highest form of love. "Do you love me?" Peter could not say that frankly. In reality, he was real. He said, "I filio you." The Lord asked second time, agapeo. No, filio. The thought, Peter could not come up to that level of Jesus' love. Jesus came down to the level of Peter's love. And he condescended and asked, "Filio thou me." He is so gracious. So gracious. And when Peter said, you know that I love you. And the Lord said, "Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. Shepherd my sheep. And when thou art converted, encourage the brethren." And Peter was recommissioned to care. Feed those who are young in the faith. Shepherd those who are sheep. Feed the lambs. Shepherd the sheep. And then that is a responsibility. And that's what he did in 1 Peter 5, 1-4, when he exhorted the elders in the local church to do what he was asked to do. Lovest thou me more than this? And this is the question, perhaps, as we come to the year of the cockerel, we need to answer. Lovest thou me more than this? More than all these other things that challenge us, all the worldly things that challenge us, do you love him more than all these things? We end now. The cock is crowing. Now, at this time, 2017, definitely the cock is crowing. Crowing very loudly that we must listen. The crowing of the cock marks the third of the four watches. Hours at midnight to 3 a.m. The clarion call to awake, Romans 13:11. Now is high time for us to awake out of sleep. So that those of us who are still sleeping, let us wake up in this year of the rooster. Now is the time to get up from sleep. Now is the accepted time, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. Now is the day of salvation. Now, we need to decide. Now, hopefully, you will be able to decide now for the year of 2017. That this year, 2017, as it comes to you, you will be able to face the real challenge. Lovest thou me more than this? Yes, Lord, I do love you. Can we say that? The challenge to be alive. Romans 13, 12 to 14. Let us cut off the work of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. The one is to our own self. Let us cast off the works of darkness. Put off. Today, there are a lot of works of darkness that we do privately in our own room, that we do privately in front of our computer, that we do privately in front of our laptop, in front of our phone. We do a lot of dark things. Let us be real. Get out before it's too late, before we get enslaved. Let us put on the armor of light. Put on the whole armor of God, for the devil is walking about, seeking whom he may devour. Let us walk earnestly as in the day before the world. Let people know that indeed we are honest, that we are not thieves. We do not take other people's money. We are not corrupt. We are honest. Let us be able to establish this testimony in the year of the rooster. Year of the cockerel, we are finished. The cock shall crow. The cock crowed with regard to Peter. The cock is crowing. That is for now. Let us be real. These are real issues for the year 2017. Let us be real. Don't live anymore cover up lives. Don't be what we are not. Be what we are before God, before man, and before self. Wishing all our Chinese saints in the Lord a blessed, bountiful, and fruitful, and prosperous. And I use the word prosperous in terms of Psalm 1:3, where we read, if you are blessed, if you walk in the counsel of the Lord, and not in the way of sinners, following his law, meditating on it day and night, you will be like a tree planted by streams of water, which could bear fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does, prospers. May the Lord prosper you in this way. Let's pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we commit ourselves to you in this year of the rooster. We see the various challenges that Peter faced and how he fell. But we thank thee for thy special grace, amazing grace, that lifted him up from his fall to rise again, to walk and to serve and to be revived and renewed so that he became such a powerful testimony for all those who heard him, came after him. Lord, we thank you that thine grace still exists for each one of us here. That should any one of us here have gone away, gone astray, Lord, bring us back. Bring us back to thyself and let us hear thee speaking to us. Although we cannot say that we love thee with all our best as unto thee, as thou lovest us, yet, Lord, we thank you, thou can come down to us and say, lovest thou me more than this, to fit in at the condition that we are in, and to take us up as we are, to be used of thee again. Lord, take us, we do pray, in this year of rooster, for service and for restoration. We ask these things in Christ's precious name. Amen.